Very thankful to you. Have the opportunity to be here this morning. Church I pastor in Louisiana was forced to cancel the service this morning, and I found out Friday, and I immediately said I was going to go to Union Church. Been looking forward to coming here since I found out we were not going to have service. I was trying to think of the last time I was here on Sunday morning. And I believe the last time I was here, I come and filled in for Brother Randy. And that's been quite a few moons ago. So Brother Joe made a statement that we don't get to be in service on Sunday morning very often. That's a true statement. But we're thankful that you're carrying on here. And I'm so thankful for the service you have on Wednesday nights. I've been away the last... Actually, I did get to listen this past Wednesday night to the preaching service. I missed the song service, but... did get to hear the preaching service. And I thank you for hosting that service. I'd like to call your attention this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Hebrews. I'm looking at four different statements that's found in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. There's four different statements, and they all begin with "let us." Let us. The very first verse says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." We did look at fear. And what he says when he says, "let us fear." I like the statement that he makes here when he says, "let us fear." He's putting himself in that. He's not saying, "you better fear." He's saying, "let us fear." This is not a fear as we often look at the term fear. This is a reverential type fear and a fear of God. If you'll look back, and if you were to read chapter 3, you'll find out exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about when the Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. And when they got there, some never entered into Canaan's land because of their unbelief. And that's what he's talking about. He says, "Well, let us therefore fear." Well, there's a lot of things that could be said about fear. Psalms says fear is the beginning of knowledge. It also says it's the beginning of wisdom. When I thought about this subject this morning, I grew up coming to church here as a young boy, and remember Brother Oscar Easterling on many, many, many occasions in his preaching, quote Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, "Let us hear the whole conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments." Friends, that's what he's talking about here. This is a reverential fear. As in Psalm 111 verse 9, "He sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." So if we want to enter into rest here in this life, and by the way, this is not talking about eternal here. This is talking about a temporal rest here in this life. We've got to understand that we need to fear God. And to fear God is to reverence him, to look up to him as God, and understand this morning that God is in control. We've got to understand that. When I was getting about the house this morning, I walked back in our bedroom, and my wife was in there, and she had a TV show on, a news show, with George Stephanopoulos. And it didn't take me long until I wanted to hurl. I'm just being honest with you this morning. I hate to use that terminology this morning, but it didn't take me long because I just can't handle those things. I can't handle a one-sided conversation. If it's fair for one person, it's fair for the other. That's the way I look at it. And if I get criticized for doing this, then you ought to get criticized for doing the same thing. And it didn't take me long. But for us to understand this morning that although the difficulties we have in this life, God is still in control. When we have that reverential fear of God, we understand that God is on his throne. I look back at Exodus chapter 14, and here's one of the things you can understand about fearing God. It's when God has told Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt's land. And they start coming out and they get to the Red Sea. I don't have to acquaint you with everything that took place there because you're Bible readers. You know what happens when they get to the Red Sea. There's mountains on the right, mountains on the left. Pharaoh's armies behind them, the Red Sea in front of them. What do you think is going to happen? If you have not read the book, what would you think is going to happen? But you know what? Moses understood that God had told him that he would lead Israel out of Egypt's land and that God would be with him. See, that God, Moses feared God. He feared him. He reverenced him. And he realized that there was going to be deliverance, my friends, but it was going to be at the hand of God and not the hand of Moses. When he said here, let us fear God that we may enter into this rest, friends, when we understand God for who he is, I promise you, our life will be a lot better. We will have rest here in this life. Even in turbulent times, in trials or tribulations, when we still understand God, we won't have this fear of what's going to happen to us. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in our country? What's going to happen in the years to come? What are our children going to see? I keep trying to tell people, God, friend, we need to trust God. We need to fear God and keep His commandments. That's what we need to do. That's the whole duty of man, as it said there in Ecclesiastes. But I like what Moses says when he gets there. When he gets to the Red Sea, they're murmuring and complaining. He said, you brought us out here to die. And what does he say? He says, stand still. Stand still. You're going to have nothing to do with this. This is nothing for you to do. You have no hand in what's about to happen. And I don't either. Stand still. And he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. Do you understand what he's saying there this morning? Friends, let me tell you, when we understand God, by the way, let me back up here just a second. How many of you think Moses knew what was about to happen? How many of you think Moses knew exactly what God was going to do? If you had never read the book, what do you think was going to happen? How many of you have ever seen a sea parted with great walls? Have you ever seen it yourself? This is about to happen, something that never occurred before, you see. But Moses understood that God was going to deliver them, and he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he believed it, my friends. He believed that God was going to get them. He brought them to the Red Sea, and he was going to get them through it, my friends. And let me tell you, that's the way he's going to be with us. He's going to take us to this life, he's going to take us through this life, and he's going to deliver us finally home on that day when he comes back to receive his bride. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't fear what man can do to me. I don't fear. I fear God. I trust God is on his throne. We can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and let me turn there. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And I'm going to be very mindful of time this morning. And I may not nearby get to where I want to get to. I may just get to one part. I may just get to the first verse. But I want to make sure what I cover, we cover well. But here in 2 Chronicles 32, look what he said. Verse 1. After these things and establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and camped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men and stopped the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, and he stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, why should the kings of Syria come and find much water? Also he strengthened himself and built up all the wall that was broken and raised it up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David and made darts and shields in abundance. And he sent captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city and spake comfort to them, saying, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Now, I read very quickly. I think you know what happens here. Is there's going to be an attack there, and he's done everything possible he can do to help in this fight, this battle he's about to face. Friends, we can do that too. We can do the best that we can do. But when it comes down to the bottom line, here's the answer to the whole thing. Look at the next verse, verse 8. With him is arm of flesh. With those who battle against us, they have just their power. But then he says, in the next part, he says, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Friends, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have me and God, and I hope you understand my terminology there, okay, I'd rather have God fight my battles for me than the best warfare, best weaponry that we have in this world. I'd rather have God on my side. You understand that? And when I understand that God's on his throne, and when I fear God, I believe God, I know that God hasn't changed, his power hasn't diminished, he is still in heaven, he's doing whatsoever he is pleased. Friends, you know what? There's a rest that I have. I can lay my head at the on my pillow at night and go to sleep. Friends, I can trust the Lord and not have to worry about salvation, eternal salvation, because it's His. But let me tell you, I do believe that we can work out our own salvation temporally here in time. There are things that we can do to save us from many pitfalls here in this life. And it starts, let us therefore fear, that we fear God, that we hold God in high esteem, because that's where He belongs, that's where He is. I think too many people today have a different idea about who God is and what I do about God. If you don't believe it, talk to some folks. Talk to some folks. I was talking to a very good friend of mine the other day. Went to visit he and his wife, and his wife has cancer. And went to visit, and he's a minister of another denomination. And he said, Richie, he said, with all the problems we're having here, he said, I have one of my deacons tell me the other day that folks just need to get born again. He said, it's just not that easy. You can't just get born again. He said, my Bible tells me that no man can come to the Father unless the Father draws him. No man can come to God unless the Father draws him. I said, amen. Amen. That's right. I tell you, my friends, let me say this morning. If everyone in the whole United States was a child of God, do you understand there would still be evil? You understand that? If you don't believe it, go back and read the book. Okay, there was a man who was called a man after God's own heart that committed adultery and murder. Okay, but he was considered a man after God's own heart, an upright man. There were those who did evil because you know why? Satan is constantly, constantly attacking the Lord's people. He is constantly telling you these things that go against what God would have you to do. And let me tell you, we do have a choice in choosing. We can be like Moses. We can choose the riches and pleasures of Egypt, or we can choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. We can choose that every day of our life. And I tell you, I'd rather choose suffer affliction with the people of God every day. But look what he says here. He says, with him is armed with flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Friends, do you want God fighting your battle for you? Trust me, you're facing battles. Every single one of us have our own battles. Brother Danny in his prayer this morning prayed for our young people. Why? Why is he praying for the young people? You know why? They're facing battles. They're facing battles that you and I have never faced. You understand that? Right over there behind my brother, sitting over there, is a gadget called a cell phone. It's turned off, by the way. Okay? It's turned off. But you know what? There's a lot of things that thing is good for, and there's a lot of things that thing is not good for. You understand that? I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be born in 1963, that I went through high school without one of those things. I got in enough trouble as it was. If I'd had one of those things, I got in a whole lot more trouble. You understand that? But they face that temptation every day. Those things that they can do and find on that phone. I tell you, I can find anything you want to find on that phone. Good things, bad things. They face trials in this life. They're facing something this virus and going to school that I take for granted. If you would have told me when I taught school there would be a day that the kids couldn't go to school, I said, you're wrong. No, that's not going to happen. Oh, we're going to have flus and stuff like that. But you know, how many times has school been started and stopped and started and stopped and changed the schedule and stuff like that? You know what? God's still strong. We need to fear Him. We need to trust Him. We need to rely on Him. We need to count on Him. Friends, He's still in control. He's still in charge. I love Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 4. Boy, I did something I don't hardly ever do. I turn right to the right page. But let's turn to chapter 30. Verse 30. Chapter 4, verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Here's the king, Nebuchadnezzar. He's bragging on what he's accomplished, what he's done. Oh, there's many people who look like that today. They think, look what I've done. Let me tell you, God gives you the power to do everything that you do today. You have strength to get to the church here this morning. You have means to get here this morning. Friends, God gave it to you. God bless you with that. And he says right here, he's bragging on, is this not this great Babylon that I have built? Oh, look at me. I've done it. But look what happens here. I like this. Look at verse 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. This very thing you built, the thing you're boasting in and bragging on, has been taken away from you. Look what happens. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with a beast of the field. You ever read this? You ever read this in Daniel chapter 4, what happens to King Nebuchadnezzar? He is out there. I mean, what would you think if I'm just going to put it on a statewide thing. If our governor, you happen to go by your pasture where you have your cows, and there's our governor out there, and he's on all fours eating grass like the cows. Friends, that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. That's what happened to the leader, the king of Babylon. But like, you know what? Sometimes it takes a good beating, if you will. And I don't mean to, maybe I say a good whipping. Okay? It takes sometimes a good disciplinary action. I'm trying to be politically correct here. It takes that for us to understand that God is in charge. That's what happens to him. So look what happens. Verse 33 says, the same hour was these things fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. Can you imagine what he looked like? Heard Elder Michael go in and say one time, the first case of the dreadlocks. That's what he said. But he had nails like birds' claws. But look at verse 34. Look at verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. And mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I blessed the Most High. What do you think's happened to this king? You think he's been made aware of his failures, the mistakes and the things he's called upon himself? He's being made aware of this, and the Lord has blessed him to see this. He said, I blessed the Most High. And he said, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. What a blessing it is to understand that God lives forever. Oh, what a blessing that is. And he says here, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You think he understood something, my friends? You think he went from boasting upon himself to fearing the Lord? You see the difference? You see the difference, my friends? Oh, what a blessing it is. I'm going to go through the next three very quick, if you'll allow me. Because I do want to just at least bring them to your attention. And I'm going to sit down here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, it says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Let us labor. Let us labor to enter into rest. Okay? Let us labor. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, he is not talking about eternal rest. Because that's not done by labor. It's not of works, okay? And I could go many places and would if time would allow me, but I think you understand, as old Baptist, that it's not by works of righteousness we've done. It's by grace and grace alone, okay? All right. But you say, well, Brother Ricky, how do we do that? How do we labor? I think we labor in prayer. We labor in prayer. We pray. We pray. As I was thinking about this, I began to ask myself, how many, if you had to write down how much time you spent doing this and how much time you spent doing this, how much time you spent doing this per week, you'd be ashamed. Think about it. You spend more time on social media than you do reading God's Word. You know, I Brother Mickey and I have pastored a church together down at Lexington. We got Sister Diane Broom as a member there, and I think everybody knows Sister Diane. She is so faithful to let us know of everything that's going on down there. Who's sick? what's going on? And I like that. That means she's paying attention to everyone in that church, and she's calling and checking. And you know what? We need to do more of that. And I say we. I'm talking about me, okay? I need to spend more time in doing that. There's a lot of things I need to change, okay? But I need to spend more time in prayer because prayer works. The Bible says so. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much is what James says. Okay? I believe we do it by reading and studying God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15, he studied, showed us that we proved unto God a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Study. Study. Study God's Word. I believe we do it by hearing. By hearing. By listening to sound preaching and sound teaching and surrounding ourselves with those who believe in the sound teaching and preaching that we believe in. We surround ourselves with those, and we talk to them, and we every opportunity we get. I like what James says there. He says, don't just be hearers of the Word, but be doers. Be doers of the Word. And we, so much can be said there. Like I said, I just want to hit the high points here and sit down. I think we take part in the ordinances of the church. Baptism. That's the ordinance of the church, baptism. It is not for the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. I believe we participate there in the communion service that we have. You see, we do, we render unto God the things that are God's. And I believe when we do, we will enter that rest here, that we will labor to enter that rest. We pray, we read and study, we hear the Word. Every chance we get, we listen to the Word preached. Every chance, every opportunity we get. And let me tell you, there's nothing like being there, okay? But there's times you can't be there. There's nothing wrong with listening to a sermon online or listening to one of these services like you have on Wednesday night. I've enjoyed it. Getting to hear preachers I don't get to hear on a regular basis. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Let's go on here. So we go on I believe it's the 14th verse of Hebrews chapter 4. He says, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe He's the Son of God? That hold fast means to cling on to it and don't let go. You hold fast to that belief. You hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Keep it in your grasp and understand that. Believe. Keep your belief. Don't have periods of unbelief. And I think we all do. But we need to understand. We need to hold fast our profession. And don't let go of it. Like I say, there's so many things there that I could say. And our hope. How many of you have a hope in Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not talking about a Santa Claus wish, okay? That's what I'm talking about when I talk about a hope. And you know that. A hope, and we talk about it, is an earnest expectation. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is coming back? How many of you believe He's returning? And He's going to take His children home. You believe that? Don't let it go. You hold fast to that. Because that will give you rest to know He's coming back. He's coming back to get you and take you home, my friends. What a blessing that is. And when we lose loved ones, as we mentioned, Brother James Ray this morning. And I often, so often think of my dad. I know those you that have lost your parents or loved ones, you think about them regularly. But you know, I wouldn't bring Dad back for nothing. Oh, I'd like to talk to him. I need advice. I need counsel from time to time. But I believe he's in a place much greater than you and I are in. And I wouldn't want to bring him back. I would not want to bring him back. And our faith in Christ. Let's hold fast our faith in Christ. Do you believe that He came to do a work when He came to this earth? I do. Do you believe He finished His work? I do. Do you believe He's got that seal that He knows them that are His? That's what the Bible says. Like I say, I'm just hitting the high points, and I want to close here. Here, and then verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now, let me tell you something, friends. In closing, that is not coming in an attitude of God, you owe me. That's not what that boldly means right there. That boldly means to come with confidence. When you come, you know, my brother probably has used this illustration in his preaching sometime here. Back when we were living in Progress, there was the church there in Progress. It had been such a long time without rain. And they were going to have a prayer meeting there at the church to pray particularly for rain. And one of the men who went to church there came with an umbrella. He came with an umbrella to the church. Now, this is back before they had all these things they have now. The only thing they had back then that day was the radar. You remember the radar had the little thing that went around in a circle? You remember that? See, you date yourself all the time. These young folks don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But, you know, if you my age or older, I guarantee you know exactly what I'm talking about. But this guy came with an umbrella. And you know what? When he walked out the door, he was on one prepared. Friends, when you come to the throne of grace and you pray for something, believe that the Lord will grant what you are in need of. Okay? Paul did that. Paul did that to Corinthians. He had a thorn in the flesh. And he said he prayed for it thrice. But what did God tell him? He said, "My grace is sufficient." In other words, I'm with you. I'm with you. That messenger of Satan that buffets you, I'm there with you. Come boldly, because God will bless you. Friends, consider those let us statements there in Hebrews chapter 4. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.